Eliander slipped a coat over Doc's shoulders and smoothed out the creases in the fabric. Doc took a moment to feel the crispness of the garment and run his fingers up and down the sleeve.
It is so clean.
Has to be. The Baron's operation wouldn't work if things got dirty. He's developed chemicals and cleaners that make things white. I hope it's all right.
It is fine.
She led him inside a large white room that was filled with all sorts of beakers, burners, and vats. Two other people were in the room dressed in lab coats, busily moving trays from one part of the room to another.
This is where we make insulin for a person with diabetes. We used to make it from the pancreases of dogs, but that was very expensive, and we went through a lot of dogs just to make a little bit of it. Then he realized that with so many muties dying in and around the ville, why not make it from muty pancreases? It makes for a better insulin, and we make more of it and more cheaply.
Doc
searched for the word. He wanted to say disgusting, but that was just an initial knee-jerk type of reaction. The Baron was actually showing himself to be quite resourceful, perhaps even a genius.
That's amazing.
The Baron's ancestors were all great white coats, and he has access to some pretty big pre-dark books. He says that if he has the raw material, he can make any medicine that the pre-dark white coats could. That's why he spends so much time in his garden growing different things.
But how many diabetics are there to trade with?
From what Doc knew about the disease, it was unlikely that anyone born with a severe case of it in the Deathlands would survive very long, just as it had been with diabetes during his time. That would leave type 2 diabetics who contracted the disease later in life. If they survived and had the jack to pay for the insulin, it was possible they'd be able to survive. Lucky to be alive.
Just one. There is a baron in an East Coast ville that has the disease. All of this production is for him. We make shipments each couple of months.
And he pays?
Of course he pays. If he doesn't have it, he'll die.
Drugs, Doc thought. There was always someone desperate enough to pay the price, no matter what the cost. She showed Doc around the room, explaining how the insulin was made and stored. She also let him feel and touch the equipment as much as he wanted. Doc pointed his sword stick at a door at one end of the room.
Is there another laboratory in there?
You can't go in there!
Is it secret?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it is.
Say no more. I have been around my share of secret laboratories to know that if you don't want me to know what's in there, then I probably don't want to know either.
Eliander seemed relieved.
Just tell me one thing. Is it possible that the thing on the other side of that door could harm people? People such as my friends and me?
No. What's in there doesn't hurt. It only makes a person feel good.
By midday, the group traveling with Spike was nearing Demandville. The trip had taken twice as long as it should have, slowed by Baroness Lashini's insistence on making the trip a leisurely drive between villes. A couple of times, the messenger had thought about revving the engine of his wag and shooting off across country and leaving the Baron in a pile of dust, but every time he turned, Sekhman Slade had the Gewehr 43 pointed at his back. The damn blaster never wavered. If he did try to run, he'd be lucky to make it 10 or 20 yards before his back would be torn to shreds. A quarter mile outside the ville, the messenger stopped and let Baroness Lashini's wag catch up.
I'll go on ahead and inform the Baron of your arrival so he can properly greet you when you enter the ville.
Baroness Lashini smiled and slowly shook her head.
That was a good try, but I think we'll all enter the ville together. Demand doesn't have exclusive rights to the grief this man Ryan has caused our families, and I've got just as big an interest in his execution as anyone.
Spike nodded and led the Baroness the rest of the way to the ville. At the gate, he was stopped by the Sekhman on duty. The guard spat into the dirt to show his contempt.
What's that bitch doing here?
She wants to see the Baron.
The guard held his long blaster in one hand, the butt of it resting against his right hip.
Well, the Baron doesn't want to see her.
The Baron won't, but Sec Chief Robards will.
The gate guard suddenly became much more interested in the visiting Baroness.
I'll get the chief.
The man turned to enter through the small door to the left of the gate, but was stopped by Robards, who was standing in the doorway and had been listening to the exchange on the other side of the gate. The chief was uninterested in the presence of Baroness Lashini and wanted only to talk to his messenger.
Well, is he the one?
Yes, Chief. He did the Baroness's son, too.
Robard smiled.
Let her in, then.
The gate guard looked at Robards in confusion. It was no secret that the Sec Chief hated Baroness Lashimi, but he opened the gate as he was told. Moments later, Baroness Lashimi entered the Ville, the procession of wags looking very much like a triumphant motorcade entering a newly conquered Ville. Once they were out of sight, Robards and Spike entered the Sec Chief's office.
So you're sure it's him, Spike?
The journal was pretty clear on the matter. The outlander that killed the Baron's brother was named Ryan Cotter.
Anything about his eye?
Only that his right eye is blue.
That's good enough for me. And I think it will be good enough for the Baron, too. Good job, Spike.
But what about Baroness Lashimi?
Right. I suppose she wants to be the one to chill the outlander?
She might, but so far she said she only wants to be there to see him suffer.
Sure. We can do that for her.
Got a plan, Chief?
The Outlanders will be competing against some of our men in the arena this afternoon. Make sure Baroness Lashimi has a place of honor for the contest next to our own Baron. She might prove to be a useful scapegoat if something bad should happen to the Baron. Now let's not keep the visiting Baron waiting.
They left the office and went outside, where they met with Baroness Lashimi and her two Sec men.
Baroness?
Robards greeted her with a gracious nod. He offered his hand to shake, but she ignored the gesture.
I was expecting Baron Demand, but it's about time somebody came to greet me.
Robards smiled.
We're busy getting ready for a contest in the arena this afternoon.
A contest? Who's challenging?
My best men against the Outlanders.
Lashimi's eyebrows arched in surprise.
Including the bastard who chilled my son?
The very same.
Then I'll enjoy watching him die.
Perhaps, but these Outlanders happen to be very good at staying alive and chilling their enemies.
You don't have to tell me that. They wouldn't have been able to chill my dear sweet Lucas if they weren't.
Robards paused. Lucas Lashimi had been little more than sewer scum, which is why he'd been a Sec man for someone like Baron Zeal and not his own mother. Still, the Baron's anger was an asset. He'd be able to use it against the one-eyed Outlander, as well as Baron Demand.
Lucas was an excellent Sec man. I would have been proud to have had him in my service.
Cut the crap, Robards, and take me to see Baron Demand. I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about.
Of course. This way.
Less than 2 miles from Demandville, Sec Chief Viviani turned the wag train off the main, weed-choked road and led them into the woods far enough so that the brush and trees would keep them all hidden from view. When all the wags had stopped and the air was filled with the ticking sound of cooling engines, he called out the names of his two best Sec men.
Sherman and Roy!
Two young men appeared at his side.
I want you to head the rest of the way to Demandville on foot.
Yes, Chief.
If anything happens in the Ville I should know about, one of you delivers the message back to me while the other remains back watching the Ville. If Baroness Lashimi gives the signal, then you both return and join us for the invasion. Depending on how fast you can travel on foot, we should be slipping in through the gate and into the Ville no more than 10 minutes after the Baron's signal.
Sherman and Roy headed off through the trees in the direction of Demandville.
What about the rest of us, Chief?
The Sec Chief pulled a partially smoked cheroot from a pocket on his sleeve and lit it with a butane lighter, puffing on the cheroot.
We wait.
Robards called Katz into his office. The older man seemed frightened when he entered. Being called into the Sec Chief's office was never a good thing.
You wanted to see me, Chief?
Ah, there you are.
I do something wrong?
No, not at all. I wanted to see you because I've got a little job I want you to do for me.
Baron Demand was busy working in his garden. In the past 6 months, he had been trying to grow a hardier variety of poppy, or papaver somniferum, as it was called in one of his books. While he'd had little trouble making opium from the plants, the unripened seeds contained several alkaloids, including morphine, a very powerful painkiller, and codeine, a milder painkiller but still very effective. The poppies he'd been growing up until now had produced few seeds, or else dried up before coming to term, and as a result he could only make opium and a small amount of morphine from the crop. However, each of the last few generations of poppy plants had done better than the one before, and it looked as if the current set of plants were close to being right for the production of morphine and codeine on a large scale. If he was able to produce more of those drugs, as well as the ones he'd been making for years, he might be able to sell Enville's farther down the East Coast. There were a few in Virginia that were wide open and ready for his wares.
"Excuse me, Baron Demand."
The Baron, on his hands and knees between the rows of plants, looked up.
"I'm busy, Robards. What is it?"
"Baroness Lashini is here to see you."
"What the fuck does that bitch want?"
"Do you remember when the Outlanders arrived, I told you there was something about them I needed to check out?"
"Yes, I remember."
"Well, I sent a rider to Indyville to look through the journals Baroness Lashini has in her library there."
The Baron rose off his knees and was now standing between the plants and wiping the dirt from his hands.
"And?"
"I sent him there to check on the death of your brother."
"He died at Spearpoint, and he was a stupid sect man with more balls than brains."
"I know that, Baron. What I was checking on was the identity of the man who chilled him."
"It was an Outlander working for the traitor who fought back when that asshole Zeal tried to rip him off."
"That's the general story, yes, but I wanted to check to see if there were anything in the journals about the deaths of your brother and Baroness Lashini's son."
"And now she's here. What did you find out?"
"Well, I'd remembered hearing people talk about Spearpoint being leveled by Traitor and his men. The Traitor had plenty of men working for him, but one of them had just a single eye."
"One eye?"
Robards nodded.
"And you think our guest Riot is the same man?"
"The one that killed your brother and the Baroness's son."
"So this one-eyed bastard has been staying in my vill, enjoying my hospitality, eating my food, fucking in the bed I provided for him, and all the time, he's the one who chilled my brother."
The sec chief nodded.
"That takes some balls."
"The biggest."
"Well, good work."
The Baron slapped his sec chief on the back.
"How did you remember?"
"I just recalled hearing stories about a one-eyed man. When he showed up outside our ville, I figured it was worth checking out."
In truth, Robards had once been a sec man on Baron Zeal's sec force at Spear Point. He'd remembered seeing a one-eyed man in the traitor's party, and knew he was responsible for the deaths of a lot of Zeal's men. It had been a long shot that Baroness Lashini's journals made mention of Spear Point, but Robards had decided long before he'd sent a messenger that he would tell his Baron that the Outlander named Ryan had chilled the Baron's brother. It was just the sort of diversion the sec chief needed to chill the Baron and start devoting all of the Ville's resources to making a lot more of the jack-making drugs like Jolt, Dream, and Bang. Demand clenched his fists, turning the knuckles white and stretching the skin taut over his fingers.
"None of those Outlanders leave here alive."
"Of course not, Baron."
"I want them all chained up in the hot box where I can watch them die slowly and in great pain."
"I remind you that Baroness Lashini is here to watch the Outlander die. If you chill him slowly, it means she may remain here for a week or more."
"Right. Then a 38 round through the forehead for the one-eyed bastard, or maybe one through his good eye so he can see it coming. But that's only after I put one in his foot, in his kneecap, both hands and shoulders. The rest of them get one behind the ear."
"That's good, but..."
"But what?"
"I've got another idea. Perhaps it's even a better one."
"What is it?"
Robards told him. It brought a smile to the Baron's face.